Music Dudu Classical Bedtime presents Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and the Blindfolded Performance. Everything is black. A piece of cool, smooth silk is tied tight over your eyes. You can't see the piano in front of you. You can't see the Empress watching from her golden throne. You can't see the hundreds of dukes and duchesses in their powdered wigs, leaning forward in their velvet chairs. All you can hear is the frantic beating of your own heart. And somewhere behind you, the scratch of a quill on paper. Someone is writing down music you've never seen before. Brand new. Fresh ink still drying on the page. And in a moment, they're going to ask you to play it. The boy standing at that piano, the boy in the blindfold, is 7 years old. He barely reaches the keys. His name is Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. The room holds its breath. Crystal chandeliers hang above like frozen waterfalls. 1,000 candles flicker. The Empress, Maria Theresa, the most powerful woman in all of Europe, has demanded a test. A proof. Can this tiny child really play as well as the rumours say? Or is it all a trick? An assistant leans close and whispers the first few notes into Wolfgang's ear. Just once. Just the first few bars of music he has never heard before. The boy tilts his head, listens. Then his small fingers find the keys, and he begins to play. Perfectly. He plays it perfectly. The Empress catches her breath. In the back of the room, a duke is so surprised he drops his silver spoon with a clatter. An old countess presses her handkerchief to her eyes. When the music stops, there is one heartbeat of pure silence. And then the room explodes. Applause crashes like a wave. People leap to their feet. That little boy in the blindfold, he would become the most famous composer who ever lived. And that performance in Vienna would be talked about for the next 300 years. But how did such a tiny child end up playing for empresses? Where did he come from? Let me take you back to the very beginning. Before the palaces and the blindfolds, there was a house on a narrow street in a mountain city called Salzburg. If you stepped outside Wolfgang's front door, you'd hear the clop-clop of horses on cobblestones, the deep bong of cathedral bells echoing off the mountains, the splash of fountains in tiny squares. Wolfgang's father was named Leopold, a tall, serious man who always had a violin tucked under his arm. Leopold worked as a musician at the royal court, and he had one great dream: to raise a family of musical geniuses. And Wolfgang had a secret partner in that dream, his older sister, Nannerl. She was 5 years older, with the same bright eyes and the same quick fingers. The two of them were inseparable. Now here's where our story gets extraordinary. Every afternoon, Nannerl would practice at the clavier. That's an old-fashioned piano with black and white keys. And every afternoon, her little brother Wolfgang would toddle over to watch. He was only 3 years old. His feet dangled high above the floor when he climbed onto the bench beside her. But Wolfgang didn't just watch. He started pressing keys too. Not random banging, he was listening. Finding notes that sounded good together, copying what Nannerl played. Leopold couldn't believe his eyes. By 4, Wolfgang was playing simple pieces. By 5, he was writing his own music. And Nannerl? She was right there beside him, learning and growing, the two of them racing each other to see who could master the hardest pieces first.
Now, in a moment, you're going to hear one of Mozart's piano sonatas. But first, what is a sonata?
A sonata is like a book with chapters. Musicians call each chapter a movement, and each movement has its own personality. The first movement might be fast and exciting, like the beginning of an adventure. The second might be slow and dreamy, like the quiet part of the story where the hero thinks about what's happened. The third might be a dance. So when you listen to this next piece, see if you can feel those different chapters. Feel how the music changes from bright and bouncy to something gentler and back again. This sonata sparkles like sunlight on water. And that happiness you'll hear? That was who Mozart was. Realized what his two children could do, he made a big decision. He would take Wolfgang and Nannerl on a tour, not just to the next town, across all of Europe. Imagine packing your whole life into a wooden carriage,
bumping down dusty roads for weeks at a time, sleeping in strange inns, eating mystery stew that might be chicken, or might be pigeon, or might be something you'd rather not know about. The Mozart family travelled to Munich, to Vienna, to Paris, to London. Wolfgang saw the ocean for the first time. He tasted chocolate for the first time. But mostly, he and Nannerl played, concert after concert, palace after palace, brother and sister side by side at the keyboard, amazing everyone who heard them. Now, I want you to understand something important about Wolfgang. Yes, he was a prodigy, someone born with extraordinary gifts, but he also worked incredibly hard. Leopold was a strict teacher. Every single day, Wolfgang practiced for hours. His fingers ached, his back hurt from sitting so long. Sometimes he was so tired, he nearly fell asleep at the keyboard. But here's the amazing thing. He never complained. Making music felt as natural to him as breathing. The hard work didn't feel like punishment. It felt like playing. And all that practice meant that when challenges came, like being blindfolded in front of an empress, Wolfgang was ready.
Now, you're about to hear something called a concerto. And a concerto is something very special. Imagine a conversation between one instrument and a whole orchestra. The solo instrument, in this case a piano, is like the main character in a story. And the orchestra? They're all the other characters. Sometimes the piano speaks alone, singing its melody. Then the orchestra answers back. Then they speak together, weaving their voices into one beautiful sound. As you listen, see if you can hear that conversation. The piano asking, the orchestra answering, and then everyone joining in. Mozart wrote 27 piano concertos. Each one is like a different adventure.
Let me tell you something funny about little Wolfgang. He wasn't just talented, he was mischievous. At those fancy palace concerts, while dukes and duchesses sat stiff and serious in their uncomfortable chairs, Wolfgang would do tricks. He'd play with a cloth covering the keys so no one could see his fingers. He'd play with just one hand behind his back. He'd make up silly songs on the spot about the wigs people were wearing. Once, right after his blindfolded performance for the Empress,
little Wolfgang hopped down from the piano bench, ran straight up to her golden throne, climbed into her lap, and planted a big kiss right on her cheek. Everyone gasped. But the Empress? She laughed and laughed. She couldn't help loving his sparkle.
But life wasn't always easy for the Mozart family. Those long carriage rides were exhausting. Wolfgang got terribly sick several times. Once he had a fever so high that Leopold thought he might lose his son. And there was something else, something that still makes me a little sad when I think about it. Remember Wolfgang's partner, his sister Nannerl? She was an amazing musician, just as talented as her brother. But in those days, people didn't believe girls should have careers. So as the children grew older, Nannerl had to stay home. She couldn't travel anymore. She couldn't perform. But she never stopped loving her brother, and Wolfgang never forgot her. From then on, whenever he played, he carried their shared dream with him, playing for both of them. That was the clarinet, one of Mozart's favourite instruments. He wrote this piece near the very end of his life, and you can hear something in it, a kind of sweetness mixed with longing, joy wrapped around a little bit of sadness. Wolfgang grew up, of course. That little boy who kissed the Empress became a man. Still short, still with that mischievous twinkle in his eye, but now writing some of the greatest music the world has ever heard. He wrote symphonies that made people gasp. He wrote operas, musical plays where singers act out stories. He wrote music for churches, for weddings, for parties under the stars. One of Mozart's most magical creations was an opera called The Magic Flute. It's a fairy tale set to music. There's a prince named Tamino who must rescue a princess. There's a birdcatcher named Papageno who wears feathers and catches birds in a net. There's a terrifying queen of the night who sings the highest, most dazzling notes you've ever heard. And there's a magic flute, a golden flute that can charm wild animals and protect the hero from danger. Mozart wrote this opera when he was 35 years old. It was one of his last great works. Listen to this music from The Magic Flute. Hear how it's both grand and playful, serious and full of wonder. That music tells you exactly who Mozart was. Serious and silly. Grand and gentle. A genius who never forgot how to play. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart died when he was only 35 years old.
much, much too young. But in those 35 years, he wrote over 600 pieces of music. 600! His music is still played every single day all around the world. In concert halls and living rooms, in movies and lullabies, babies fall asleep to it, orchestras thunder through it, people dance to it at their weddings.
So what can we learn from Wolfgang? Remember that blindfold? The silk tied tight over his eyes, the music he'd never seen before, the Empress waiting. Wolfgang couldn't see the notes, but he didn't need to. The music lived inside him, in his heart, in his fingers, in everything he was. Sometimes life feels like playing blindfolded. You can't see what's coming next. You don't know if you'll get it right. But if you practice, if you work hard at the things you love, if you keep that sparkle, that playfulness, that mischief, the music will come, even in the dark. That's the magic of Mozart.
Now, close your eyes. Imagine you're back in that glittering ballroom. The chandeliers, the candles, the Empress on her throne. A little boy stands at the piano. A silk blindfold covers his eyes. He can't see a thing. But he smiles. His small fingers find the keys, and he begins to play. Good night, little listener. Sweet dreams.